This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com. Bill Newell here along with Rick Moore on this Friday, the 8th day of January, here on a cloudy, maybe a partly sunny day, but mostly cloudy and a little bit of drizzle in our forecast. And, Rick, we got some big-time rain coming on Sunday as well. So I guess we need it. I guess that's what they say. So we're going to get it. I heard the weather this morning, maybe 1 to 2 inches of rain on Sunday, and then a chance of some freezing rain or freezing drizzle tonight. Not sure if it'll be happening around the coast, but we got a bunch of things happening weather-wise. Just keep a heads up here, I guess, over the next couple of days or so.
When I first moved to Massachusetts, a friend of mine told me, it's good for the rhubarb, whatever that means.
Good for the rhubarb? Is that right?
Yep.
Interesting.
I haven't seen rhubarb in years.
Well, we have a couple of videos. I just want to tell the folks what we do have for videos up there. Let me see if I can remember what we have up there. We remember the hoverboard. The hoverboard was a great big Christmas gift that was huge, I guess, this year and for some folks. But they're like $400. But the SNL, Saturday Night Live, did a little feature on the hoverboards because they're a little out of control and they also do tend to catch fire. So there's a great little video on those hoverboards. And on my other two that we got up, we've got a video of Beverly. This is just on YouTube. So just a little, if you're getting a little, it's a little early for the wintertime blues or blahs or whatever, but a little 2-minute trip through the Garden City on a nice summer day. So little highlights from Beverly. And the other one is I guess it's going to be a halftime, a little promo on who's going to be on the halftime show for the Super Bowl coming up in February. So, you know, that's what we got for you today on our videos here on the website. And we've got Trending Now coming this morning at 10 o'clock, correct?
Yeah, we do. Josh has got some local people we'll be talking to. Josh Arnold is the host, of course, and through his Rotary connections, there is the Rotary Polar Plunge. I believe it's this Saturday, so we'll be talking about this coming Saturday. Next, that is, not this Saturday, but a week from tomorrow. And, you know, it's a big fundraiser for the local Rotary clubs. And it takes place in Gloucester, and Josh is, what does he wear? I guess he wears a bear suit, and Josh is about 6'5", 6'6". So it's pretty imposing when you see him in this polar bear suit. But he'll be talking to local officials 10 a.m. on Fridays, and we might be changing that to Thursdays, but it's on demand if you miss it live, and we do have it live. We have a lot of live programming. I want to emphasize that. And, Bill, you mentioned the video. Do you care? Have you ever seen a Super Bowl halftime show?
No, you know, I have, but do I care? No, I don't. Not really. I'll be honest with you. The Rolling Stones were on right a few years ago, right? And, I mean, they've had a couple of decent shows, but it's crazy. You know, it's just an event. I think it's more obnoxious when the Patriots aren't there. I mean, when the Patriots are there, it's kind of neat. You're watching the game. You're really into it. And then the halftime show, you tolerate it because you're so much into the game. It's a secondary. But if it weren't the Patriots, I'd be totally obnoxious, I think, yeah. So
I think the only one I could tolerate, I think it was U2 did it. We were at a Patriots game once, if I recall. I can't remember for sure, but I did watch a little bit of U2 because I am very much a U2 fan. But you know what? In all the years, I don't know, they said 50 years of Super Bowl. I'll tell you what, I don't think I've ever seen a complete halftime show, and I rarely look at it at all. It's a good chance to, you know, to go get some snacks or do the dishes or whatever.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, this guy's quite a downer today, huh? Well, this is good. You put us right in the mood, Rick. This is fantastic.
Well, you know, it's just, for a sports fan, it's funny because the Super Bowl is a spectacle now, okay? There's no question that's what it is. It should be a holiday the day after. If your team is in the Super Bowl, you should get Monday off. That should be in the Constitution. I agree with that. But it's for the pink hats. It's for the gamblers. You know, all these people with the squares, they buy the squares. So that's sort of what the Super Bowl has become. And for the sports fan, you know what? I don't need 3 hours of a pregame. I don't need, you know, a half an hour, 45-minute halftime show. I just want to watch the game. So, I guess it is a pet peeve of mine that on the one hand, it is such a spectacle, but on the other hand, it's a lot of fun. Gives reason to people to gives people a reason to get together. So there's nothing wrong with that.
All right, another thing we've got, we're going to run our interview with Mike DiMarino, who's the boys basketball coach at Hamilton Wenham in his first year, taking over for a team that won a state title a year ago under Coach Doug Hoke. We do have a complete post up from Hamilton Wenham on our website, But they're off to a 5-2 start. They're doing very well. They have a big game against Masco tonight. And we have a live broadcast tonight as well. In girls basketball, we've got the Salem at Danvers game with a tip-off at 7 o'clock. So those are some of the things happening. What about news going on, Rick? I got a couple of things I'd like to mention, but what do you have going on there?
Well, there's an interesting piece, and I'm not going to get into it, really, by Paul Layton of the Salem News. It's in the Gloucester Times as well, about there was a fatal shooting in Beverly back in October, and the Beverly police were exonerated and justified. They said it was justifiable. But it gives us some background as to the individual who was shot. And there's some speculation as to the police report as to whether or not it could have been prevented by, and whether or not the gentleman was mentally disturbed. So, I advise you consult the Salem News or the Gloucester Times on that one. But there was a pizzeria that was destroyed in Magnolia by fire. When was that? Last year? Sometime last year. And the owners have come forth with a plan to build a new one, and people in Magnolia are quite pleased about that. It'll be a brand new pizzeria, plus some condos, I guess, on the second and third floors. And if Cape Ann needs anything, it's another pizza shop. But I say that with tongue in cheek. You can't have enough pizza shops, and these people have been very good neighbors over in Magnolia. So we wish them well and hope the thing works out.
You know, those guys at pizza shops, they work hard. They really do.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's you know, those guys do work hard. Hey, a little salute to the guys at the pizza shops today. Yeah.
Makes my life easier, Bill, because on the night I have to cook, I can I have my pick of pizza shops, and each one has its own unique flavor, its own unique style, and its own unique pricing. So it gives you a lot of for a guy like me who can't cook, it gives me a lot of options.
All right. Well, a couple of things. There's in the item, I think their lead story, the daily item of Lynn today, is a story on the hearing that they had. The state had a hearing last night, Thursday night, at Lynn City Hall on the eventual closing of Union Hospital in Lynn. And what they want to do is combine Union Hospital or close Union Hospital and move whatever they have left at Union Hospital up to the Salem Hospital, which is both. They're owned by North Shore Medical Center, NSMC. So they had a hearing last night, and Brian LaPierre, the new counselor at large, asked, saying, I'm very passionate about this issue. He asked the audience members to raise their hands if they were opposed to the closure of the hospital, and the majority of them did. To the credit of the item on the front page, they have four people up there, and the pros and cons, they balance it off, and that's great. That's okay. That's good. And I'm thinking of a couple of other notes here. I see, but anyways, they had a number of different people that have talked about the issue. Bob Norton, who's head of the hospital, said, I've seen you do some wonderful things for the area, said David Salamini, that this just doesn't happen to be one of them. Salamini is a great, a really good advocate for the city of Lynn, a businessman from the city of Lynn. I think he's now pretty much retired, but actually, maybe I have them mixed up with his father's son. But anyways, it seemed like it was a respectful hearing. But you got people from Saugus and Lynn and different political leaders meeting and talking about the Union Hospital.
You know, there was a similar situation in Gloucester a few years ago. I think it's still ongoing. It's still tenuous with respect to the Addison Gilbert Hospital and all of its affiliations. And I asked someone who was on the board, I said, well, how do you keep a hospital open? You know, it's a money-making enterprise and so on, and the costs, and et cetera. And the guy on the board said, well, you just have to go to Addison Gilbert. Make sure you attend it. Make sure people frequent Addison Gilbert instead of other hospitals. So, you know, I guess that was one simplistic solution. But healthcare in this country, healthcare regionally and healthcare locally, it's on everybody's mind all the time. And we wish everybody involved well, because so many people are employed, so many people do so many good things.
Right, and I try to be fair on the issue. I think that there's cases on each side here for that, and the fact that I guess they are saying that Lynn would be the largest city in the state without its own hospital. That's what I've heard said. However, on the other hand, in this day and age, I mean, you think about where we are in this area, and we shouldn't try to compare ourselves to some rural areas, but there are other areas, even in New England, where if you need to go to a hospital, you know, Rick, I've heard these stories. So you're You know, speaking of Donald, now we weren't speaking of Donald Trump, but I'm thinking of up in rural parts of New England. If you're in upstate New York, a lot of folks will travel. And when I talk about upstate New York, I'm talking about not the Albany area, excuse me. That's upstate New York, but I'm talking about way up, Plattsburgh, up in the North Country, near the Canadian border. They'll travel an hour plus to get over to Burlington, to the hospital in Burlington, because that's where that's the nearest, largest medical center tied to the University of Vermont. And so there are folks that, you know, there are a lot of different situations out there. And so we're actually very fortunate, I guess, in this area to have the medical providers that we do have. But, I don't know. Obviously, it'd be great to have it stay open and be a service to the community. But times are changing, and everything does change. So.
And we are fortunate. You're right, Bill, with so many good health. And plus, there's so many clinics in the area. And again, you know, on the North Shore, I mean, I think the furthest community, that I know of in this part, you know, you go up to Rockport, and it's still, you can get to Boston within an hour. And how many unbelievably world-renowned hospitals are there, you know, in Boston that we're able to visit or to have take care of us?
That's cool. And the other thing, you know,
totally off topic, but same thing. When you talk about the rural areas, I know of a friend who has a relationship or a relative out in, I think it's Idaho, and she goes out there to visit the relative, and she said, you know, there's one restaurant within like a 50-mile radius, one restaurant, and man, you can't fall outside your house on the North Shore without bumping into an excellent restaurant. So we live in a pretty good area.
It's like Andy and Barney, you know, back in Mayberry, Rick. If they really had a big date and wanted to, show the girls a big night out, they'd have to go to Mount Pilot. You know, people don't understand that anymore.
No, but, you know, no, I tell you, I love the North Shore. It's great. And, it's I do ask people, too, what's your favorite restaurant whenever I run into someone from out of town? What's your favorite restaurant? And, man, there are just so many of them. It's great. And, you know, same thing with healthcare. You do have your pick of places you can go to, so let's hope it stays that way. And I don't know about all the machinations of the Lynn Hospital thing, but, again, I hope it turns out well.
All right, so now let's just – we got two other topics, at least, that I have, and maybe you have something else to talk – actually, I got three here. So I just want to follow up on something we talked about yesterday, Rick, and we talked about holiday sales. We talked about the malls, the Macy's story, and so on. There are two headlines today, and I'll just read them, and we can just maybe react to them briefly in the Wall Street Journal today. But one of them is regarding holiday sales and retail sales and so on. A surge in last-minute shopping saw more dollars flow online as foot traffic fell in stores. So there's that story. Kind of talked about that yesterday with the news that Macy's was closing two stores in Massachusetts, not the ones in our area. There's one in Saugus and Peabody. Here's another one here. Millennials favor traveling, dinners out, and paying down debt over going to the mall. This is a story from Alex Haig, a marketing coordinator for a local Honda car dealership, gave her family a warning before the holiday that she wouldn't be able to afford any Christmas gifts. And now that I'm an adult, I tell my parents I don't care about getting anything, she said, and since I'm broke, I don't want to give anything. So the 28-year-old instead was using her own paycheck to pay down her credit card debt and to build up savings to move from her current apartment, shared with a roommate out in the outskirts of the city, to her own place closer to home. So is it possible that these millennials are being more, financially responsible? And yet, you know, we talk about, Rick, one of the things that we've talked about a little bit, actually we haven't talked too much about it, is that the ability for students to get a financial education in education, because there's so much stuff out there about how to handle money, how to handle your finances, little things about loans and mortgages and credit card debt that I'm not sure the kids are getting in the schools.
Well, that's sort of a paradox too, Bill, because our largest national debt, it has to do with higher education, getting a college degree.
Right.
So, you know, it's trillions of dollars. So it's, again, it's kind of a paradox that you might have a financial education and you come out owing a quarter of $1 million, or, you know, it's just crazy.
I hadn't looked at it that way, but that's right. All right. So it's Friday. We're heading into the weekend. Here's another thing, Rick. This is a story. The Journal also had a story I guess it was earlier this week about, and I didn't bring it up because I wasn't really sure what it all meant. So you know, we've worked in radio, you know, I've been around broadcasting for a while there, and there was a story that was out yesterday, and it's the stories regarding Channel 7, WHDH-TV in Boston, and losing their NBC affiliation. NBC wants to pull that affiliation come next January, this in 2017. They want to put it on a station that they own or will own in the Boston area, but it's probably not a Boston station. But basically what's going to happen is in the industry, there's going to be these auctions. This is a big thing happening for the television stations. And even in the newspaper story today on Channel 7, which owns Channel 56, they're planning on selling and putting up for auction Channel 56. Because what's happening is, and we can see it, it makes sense, is that every station, whether it's in New Hampshire or in Boston, everybody's on the cable, so it basically has the same value. You know what I'm saying? It's a channel on your on your television cable system, or satellite system or whatever. And so the actual physical television station that used to be so valuable, like Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 7, with the and people might get it over the air. That, you know, that doesn't really happen that much for people. You know, in other words, it's almost like a waste that Channel 7 is beaming out this signal, because most people aren't getting it off air. You know what I'm saying? I know I don't. We don't. And no one does. It used to be maybe, I can remember not that many years ago. Well, it was probably quite a few years ago. You might have a TV set in your house, a little one, that might just get over-the-air channels. Remember that? You know, but no one, I don't think, does that anymore that I know of. But so they're basically, they're going to have these auctions for these television stations. And so Channel 7, if they lose that NBC affiliation, will then be an independent station like 56 is now, or 38, or these other stations. And I guess their plan is to just do more and more local news. So anyway, it's kind of an interesting thing. And there's also, I guess, a lot of changes at Channel 5, because they're adding a newscast on Monday. They're changing their Sunday mornings around a little bit. So there are some changes going on in the news business, and they're starting a 7 p.m. newscast during the week, which I think is great, because I think if you're out and you want to catch the news, I think it's just a great time to do it. And I'm glad there's somebody is doing something like that. One of the major stations doing a 7 o'clock news.
Well, I will miss the local stations if that happens. I actually have an antenna.
Oh, okay.
I do. I know some people who have antennas, and we get the local, the Boston stations, they're transmitting, we get them over the airwaves, and then you go searching with a smart TV, you get other TV programming on the internet. So you don't have to have cable, you don't have to have a satellite dish, you just have the old-fashioned antenna, and you can get Channel 4, 5, 2, 38, 56, those Boston stations, 68, I believe, and then you can go searching online. If you have a smart TV, you can get all the rest of your programming over the internet.
I can remember back in the early 80s or mid-80s, whenever it was, people had cable, but I mean, we had it, we dropped it, and we went to the antenna, and I loved it, you know, like, so that, but then they put in the, they changed it to a digital TV or whatever, so I don't think the old, then you'd have to change your TV set and so on, so things kind of changed to whatever, however they did things, and so, yeah, I didn't realize that a lot of people were doing that. I'm not going into homes and checking their connections, but, you know, but I guess some folks are still doing over the air. And, again, it may happen that this may not turn out this way, but who knows, because they're going to file a lawsuit, and who knows where that plays out and what it does. And I also think that, who knows, NBC may hook themselves up with another channel anyways that's in Boston, so who knows, so. But I just thought I'd share that. It's kind of an interesting thing because we talk about how things change. This is one of those things, how it changes. And so, and like for us, Rick, on the internet here, on our website, it puts us, because we're on an website, we have a web address. We're just like any other website in a way, because we're available just as easily as anybody else is.
Well, that's a good point. If we had the staffing, we could have 24-hour video, we could have 24-hour audio, and the signal is just as good as anybody else's that you watch on the big Boston stations. You're right.
All right. So we've got Mike DeMarino coming up. He's the boys basketball coach at Hamilton Wenham. And, Rick, anything else you want to share with us at all?
Not Not this time. I'm working on some stuff, trying to get some interviews lined up for some, I think, things of interest to everybody, not just here, us here on the North Shore. Topics of, I'm working on some things and see if we can put something together. But again, we do have our regular programming, Josh Arnold. Fridays at 10 a.m. always has some great guests and very topical from all over the North Shore. And then, of course, Monday nights we have our sports show. We've also got a couple of guests lined up already on Monday night. And then, all of our sports programming. And there's a good chance, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, that we can actually have a hockey broadcast tomorrow night, trying to get into up to Gloucester to do the Winthrop at Gloucester hockey game. So check out the website tomorrow. I should know by late this evening whether or not we can do that game tomorrow. Plus, you've got one tonight.
Yeah, we do. We've got a girls' basketball game tonight. Danvers playing host to Salem, 7 o'clock. One of the things we're also, just people coming up on the website, Jeff Schmays, who is the news editor or editor of the Peabody Weekly, Linfield Peabody Weekly. We're going to talk with him. We'll get that interview up at some point. Maybe he'll be on our Monday edition of North Shore Today. And also, he was a great guest. We had him on about a month ago. A lot of information from Peabody and so on. And also, Gary Larrabee, who, Rick, you're no stranger to you and the North Shore Sports Night Show, but Gary's got a website. He's got a lot of stuff. He's a Danvers guy from way back, and he's been following Danvers basketball. So we're going to talk with him, and I think we're going to feature him at halftime of tonight's basketball broadcast. But we're going to do more with Gary because that was a really special season with Danvers basketball last year, or the last several years, actually. They've had a great run. So we got that coming up. And then we'll take a look at some other sports news. So stay with us right now on MSONewsSports.com. This is North Shore Today. Hamilton Wenham boys basketball coach Mike DiMarino is with us. And Mike, welcome. Welcome back to MSONewsSports.com.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, it's great. We're here at practice here getting ready. You guys are getting ready for the Friday game against Masconomet, which is a home game, right?
It's a home game, yes. Yeah, it's a great opponent. They're having a good year. Probably the biggest team in the league with 6'6", 6'5", and 6'4" across their front line.
Now, what do you guys go across your front line?
It's not quite that. We're about 6'2", 6'2", 6'1", 6 feet, actually. But, what we lack in size, the kids make up for in their aggressiveness and their willingness to work.
Now, is height important in basketball, Mike?
You would think so. You know it is, but it's not the only thing.
No, go ahead.
No, it's, I mean, we've been able to stifle some bigger teams this year, and hopefully we can continue that tomorrow night.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm old and I go way back, and so but what I can tell you is that this game is much more intense, much quicker now at the high school level than it was 25 years ago, that's for sure. So you're right on that. There's a lot more than height.
Oh no, I mean, the game continues to evolve, and I mean, it's, you know, we just try to take it one possession at a time. You know, the kids pride themselves on their defense. You know, they're playing some pretty good defense right now. We haven't given up 60 points in a game yet this year. And that's something, even games we've lost, and that's something we take a lot of pride in. So, you know, like I said, we're young, but, you know, we continue to work out and get better as the year goes on.
Well, Mike, I want to talk about your players, but one last question before we get there, and that would be, you know, a great place for a coach to walk into is when the season before the team goes 0-20, and coach, and you walk in, you take over the program, you got 5 wins, then you got 10, then you get the 18, and you move on to the tournament big time. But you walked in after the team went undefeated and won a state title.
You know, it's pretty unique circumstance to walk into. I can't say enough good things about Coach Hoke. And when I got the job, you know, we actually went out and we talked about the program and going forward. There's some young talent here. You know, we've definitely gone through a tremendous transition. But, you know, we're, like I said, we'll get some young talent, and we'll get a little better as the year goes on.
Right. And so those things are pretty standard with high school basketball and so on. But that was a special year last year for Hamilton, one, no doubt.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I mean, as a coach, and, you know, Coach Hoke, you couldn't script it any other way. You know, 25-0, winning the state championship, the first basketball state championship in the school's history. I mean, it was unbelievable. I was here. I watched all their tournament games.
Yeah. Well, Mike, let's talk about this current team here, and maybe start with your senior leadership, and then we can go around and tell me about some of the other players you're counting on this year.
Well, first off, I can't say enough good things about these kids. They come to work every day with positive attitudes, and they give everything they have at practice, and just a special bunch. You know, Nico Serpa is a returning captain, and Nick DiMarino is a returning captain now, and they were both members of that team last year. And you know, they lead us, they anchor us, and with their leadership, we've been able to incorporate some young talent. Matthew Hockey and Ben Danforth are both a sophomore and junior, respectively. And actually, Billy Whalen and James Lustig are a freshman and a sophomore. So we're young, but you know, they're learning the way we do things here at Hamilton Wenham, and you know, I'm really excited for the future.
And the I guess the any other players that you're counting on coming off the bench at all that you want to share with us that are playing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we love Jack Wisepka and C.J. Cooper, you know, and Alex Wench. They come in and work hard every day, and they give us, you know, they give us great minutes. Top to bottom, you know, this team works hard. We have a philosophy here where we say, you know, Hamilton Wenham scores the points, Hamilton Wenham rebounds the ball. We're not focused on individual statistics or anything of that nature.
Finally, Mike, who's coaching with you this year at Hamilton Wenham?
With me this year, I have Coach Kyle Westberg and Coach Nick Bottle. Kyle is my JV coach, and Nick is my assistant varsity coach. I also have a recent Hamilton Wenham grad, Brian Nickel, as my freshman coach. They're great guys. You know, Nick and Kyle are both educators, and I've been with me since day one. And Brian is actually in school now to become an educator. So I think it's really important aspect when you're working with young men that they understand what it's like to work in both in and out of the classroom.
All right. Anything else you want to share with us about Hamilton Wenham basketball here this year, Mike, in your first year here?
I just can't express how happy I am to be here. It's a real special place, and come out and watch some games this year.
You got it. All right, Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Mike DeMarino, the boys basketball coach at Hamilton Wenham, with us here on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, welcome back to North Shore Today. Bill Newell with Rick Moore here on a Friday, getting ready for the weekend. And got a lot of basketball action tonight. I'm just scanning the schedule here. Certainly a couple of highlight games. You got Danvers playing at Salem tonight in boys basketball. Certainly a game to keep an eye on there. And in girls basketball, let me think here. This Revere Marblehead game in Revere tonight could be an interesting game. I'll see how Coach Hansen's team does down in Revere tonight. So there's one to watch. But we also have our broadcast game is the Danvers-Salem game. Salem suffered a tough loss, a big come-from-behind win by the Gloucester girls earlier this week. So they're traveling to Danvers tonight. So two great coaches there, Pat Falou from Danvers and John Fortunato, the longtime coach in Salem. So it be great to catch up with those two tonight over in Danvers. And as I mentioned earlier, hopefully we're going to have a feature at halftime and maybe also post it on the website with Gary Larrabee on Danvers Athletics. So we got that. And maybe some hockey on Saturday night.
Yeah, let's hope so. I'm pushing for it, and I can't wait to hear from or about Gary. He is an amazing resource on the North Shore, an encyclopedia of sports knowledge, and a real wordsmith as well.
Absolutely. All right, that'll do it for us. And again, just if you're peeking ahead to the weather, you got a little bit of drizzle today, possibility of some freezing drizzle overnight tonight in some areas away from the coast. So do keep an eye on that. It's going to be a rainy, wet, and windy Sunday. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us on North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.